is Dr. Richard Bartlett. And he's been one of those first big prominent doctors to really put inhalable steroids and other things on the map and to go on Fox News and to go on Texas News and to really go out there and inform others. He's a very respected doctor, former top medical advisor to Rick Perry for 7 years, volunteer service merit award, HHS commission, Texas leadership, medical assistance. He's been on the big state boards, monoclonal antibody infusion center advisor in Texas, and COVID Texas emergency management. And of course, he's also been a flight surgeon and a lot more. And he joins us here. And he said, if I bring it up, he'll talk about it, but it's private medical stuff. He's helped dozens and dozens. Well, that's conservative. A lot of people that I've known, because this Delta thing just raged through. I got to enjoy it like a gorilla on my chest, but I got on what he recommended through a doctor's, and it was incredible. Within 24 hours, I was 90% better. Then I had just a nagging cough for a few weeks. Almost killed my dad. Dad didn't tell me. Mom didn't tell me. Live in Austin. They're both exercise and pretty good health, but 71, 72. And I thought my dad was dead. He was like 82 oxygen. Within one day of what Dr. Bartlett put me in touch with local doctors and others and got him on this regimen, my dad, again, when I got there, it was all this mail piled up. And I'm like, what the hell is this? So I heard he was sick. It was all these chairs he'd ordered from Amazon, of all places, and they were deck chairs, pool chairs he hadn't put together. The next morning, I get over there to make him get up and stuff like Dr. Bartlett told me to do, and he's up putting chairs together and like pink-skinned and like 80%, 90% better. This was incredible. If he'd have gone to a hospital, he'd be dead. Tim Enlow's really good friend from the military, is a nurse, great shape, everything. She's dead now. She went into the hospital a month ago, said, I can't breathe. They said, go home. By the time she came in with 80 oxygen, they intubated her dead 2 days later. So that's the story you're going to hear over and over again. So I'm going to try to give him the floor. He's a gentleman, but I'm going to try to be quiet for him to not just have 5 minutes on Fox News or, you know, 3 minutes on local news, to really cover the waterfront. And also, I'm getting doctors' reports, and it's in the news, that they're now trying to ration a Regeneron, which I've talked to a bunch of other medical doctors. They say is way better than the Eli Lilly thing. I guess it's got two antibodies. And a bunch of crew in my office went and got it within 5 hours. Joe Rogan called me. He got it within a day. He felt basically better. So, and then people say, what, do you own Regeneron stock? No, I don't, but I should. So whatever's going to, and that's a company with doesn't have liability protection like the vaccine makers. People say, oh, you believe in Big Pharma. Well, yeah, a lot of the products are great. But when they have liability protection being forced on me by Bill Gates, they're not. So I'm going to shut up and go to Dr. Richard Bartlett, who is, again, a hero, a super hardworking doctor, a true doctor. And it's doctors countering this big corporate takeover of medicine. And it's a beautiful thing. So I really appreciate him coming on. His website's rbudesonineworks.com. Yeah, I feel like I couldn't breathe. And every time I would do it, I felt better for a while. Then it went away in a few days. SynergyHealthDPC.com. And we'll try to put those URLs on screen. SynergyHealthDPC.com and BudesonineWorks.com. All right, Doc, if I don't talk, don't stop. Because if I talk, I'll talk over you. You've said you've been a listener for a while, so you know that. You've got the floor for the time we've got on this Saturday evening. Thanks for spending your time with us. You've been very busy and hard to get on, I understand. So thank you for joining us.
Alex, I just finished another long day at the Regeneron Monoclonal Antibody Infusion Center in West Texas. And this is another early outpatient therapy that works against COVID. This actually works. Half of the people that come in, I'd say approximately half, have been vaccinated. What does that tell you about that? But I'll tell you, this helps whether you've been vaccinated or not. If you have COVID and you have symptoms, we're seeing people immediately get results. And so the strategy out of this pandemic is early, effective outpatient therapies. Treating people early. We've been trying the vaccine. We've been trying the masks. We've been trying social distancing. Those things have been strategies that came out of China. How's that working? But I'll tell you, early effective outpatient therapies are working. We have a trail of people living instead of a trail of tears with the other strategy. I'm not happy about people dying. And so there are some things that work. And for instance, this little university called Oxford University, the oldest university in the English-speaking world since 1096, with 72 Nobel Prize laureates, proved that budesonide is an effective early therapy for COVID. That one medicine, and they used in their in the Stoic trial, a randomized controlled trial, they were giving just a whiff of that, a puff twice a day with an inhaler, and they concluded that 90% of hospitalizations, ER visits, and urgent care visits could be prevented with early outpatient budesonide. I think that's big news. Oxford's the same place that came out with using dexamethasone IV in the hospital for COVID patients in the ICU. And they concluded that 20 to 33% increased survival with that strategy. How about the same university, Oxford University, later showing a 90% success rate with just an inhaled steroid, which is inexpensive, readily available, generic. Nobody's going to make any money off of this, but it's in every pharmacy on every corner in the United States. It's in every hospital in the United States. And so that's just one tool. But then you look at Regeneron monoclonal antibody infusion centers, and that 30-minute infusion, it will prevent 70% of hospitalizations and death. I'm starting to see a pattern here that early outpatient therapies are a good idea, and they're the way to go. And so let's consider 90% with budesonide, early, inexpensive, very safe, has been used on 2-pound preemie babies in the NICU for decades now. We know what to expect with it. There's a wealth of information about it. And then you look at Regeneron using monoclonal antibodies, a technology that we've had for 40 years now in medicine, that we use in cancer treatment, that we use in other infectious diseases. And the evidence is 70% decrease in hospitalization and deaths with just a 30-minute infusion. Here's what I'm seeing in this monoclonal antibody infusion center. I'm seeing people while they're sitting in the chair, bored, just sitting there getting this infusion. They're telling me, I've had a headache for 5 days and it just went away. They're telling me I have the burning in my chest is gone. My body aches are gone. The fatigue I had for days is gone. I have more energy. They're leaving with a smile. I've joked that they crawl in and they walk out, but we're seeing dramatic results.
And let me just interrupt you, sir. Trump took it and said within 5-6 hours, he felt like a new man. I've had five of my crew, because I got a big crew here, who just went and got it when they got sick and literally went from not being able to breathe, in the case of Zach, I won't say his last name, and he literally said in 5 hours, the headache, the not being able to breathe, he felt great in 5 hours. Now, I'm not saying everybody's having that, but everybody I know, within 5 hours, Joe Rogan, one day, gone. I mean, fever, sweats, can't breathe, gone. What in the hell is that Regeneron doing?
Well, it's an antibody. Antibodies are like a lock and key. They only bind to one specific thing called an antigen, which is on the cell surface of a cancer cell, or it's on the outside of a virus. And so you see an antibody binding to an antigen like lock and key. And so it goes through your bloodstream looking for the virus, binding to the virus, and immediately triggering your immune system to kill the virus. And so literally the virus is being, it's like the antibodies are on a search and destroy mission. They're immediately going and finding the virus and killing all the viruses in the bloodstream. And so as they're sitting in the chair, they literally are having their symptoms leave their body because the virus is being killed on contact with the antibody. This is an antibody that's multiplied in the lab. And goes through your bloodstream, it'll be cleared out of your body by your spleen, by your liver, by your kidneys. Those are the filtering systems that God gave us. And so those will clear those antibodies out. But while they're there, they're having a tremendous benefit for the people. And so 70% decrease in death and hospitalizations just with a 30-minute infusion. But you can also give this as 4 subcutaneous shots, which takes just a minute. So there are infusion centers Regeneron centers that are being set up in Florida and Texas, all in many states, where they're expecting to see 300 people a day.
Well, sir, you're the expert on this. You're the expert on this, and you told me about the treatments that saved my dad, hands down. I really appreciate it. You also saved Rob Dew. That's a separate subject. But expanding on that, is there, because I get this from other doctors, and I know Dr. McCullough is a great guy, and he said, oh, yes, Regeneron's much better than Eli Lilly. He's not involved in it. He just says, this is two instead of one. Again, I'm a layman here. But is there, I saw that Biden set a board up that's talking about not giving it to people that aren't vaccinated. Is that true?
So if he said it, first of all, I think you need to verify. And so I actually don't listen to him very much. I'm busy taking care of people.
I understand.
And I'm interested in facts and science.
And so we don't get a lot of that out of Biden, so it's probably not true.
Right. So I don't know what he's saying. And if he says it, I'm almost expecting something else. But I will say facts and science. Randomized controlled trials, the gold standard for evidence-based medicine, the Stoic trial, the principal trial out of Oxford University showing budesonide is effective, something that you broke the news on a year ago to your credit, Alex, when other people were not paying attention or suppressing this information. They were censoring this information. You were getting it out. That budesonide can save lives for COVID patients.
And then a year later, I experienced it with my father.
Yes. And I'll tell you something else that's critical. Budesonide, when I broke that story a year ago, I talked about my protocol, which was budesonide as a nebulizer treatment, also an antibiotic called clarithromycin, and an aspirin. And the aspirin, I saw a study the other day at the NIH database that said that 14.1% of COVID patients in the hospital experienced venous thromboemboli, basically clots, which would equal a heart attack, a stroke, or a pulmonary embolus in the lungs. And so the aspirin was part of the strategy a year ago, and now we have a study verifying that it's totally appropriate, validating it. And so an aspirin a day is critical if someone's not allergic to it. And the antibiotic that I chose was clarithromycin because our risk of a secondary bacterial pneumonia, the number one risk factor for that is a viral respiratory infection. Guess what COVID is? And so we can be proactive. We can empirically treat people. And I wrote a case study and published it a year ago explaining all of these things with 50 articles that we referenced, peer-reviewed studies. And so this was not something that was hidden in the dark. And, you know, you've experienced censorship. When I wrote this a year ago, I said that budesonide was the silver bullet of my strategy. I don't know, Alex, what you would call a medicine that can prevent 90% of hospitalizations, ER visits, and urgent care visits for a deadly pandemic, but I think maybe something that prevents 90% would be a silver bullet. And so, but I got a lot of pushback. Fauci got Matthew McConaughey to do an interview on the internet, and McConaughey asked him, "Hey, what about budesonide? People think that works for COVID." And Fauci said, "Well, in reality, Matthew, it's just a placebo." And so, how much death and destruction resulted from him putting out misinformation? Because either he's saying the wrong thing or Oxford University is wrong with their science, randomized controlled trials.
Well, let me just stop you, doctor, because Fauci yesterday on CNN, I played the clip on my Friday show, he said that, quote, he was asked by Sanjay Gupta and by Anderson Cooper, is there any truth to this natural immunity thing? Does that even exist? And Fauci said, quote, I don't know. That's not as bad as the Surgeon General, I'm sure you've seen the video, said, oh, natural immunity is not as good as this, even though the Israeli study says 13 to 27 times. I'm not a doctor. I only went to college for 1 year, but I remember like eighth grade biology, they said learned immunity was the best. So what in the world's going on there?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of misinformation, and that's the first thing that I appreciate Fauci saying is he doesn't know. Finally, he admitted it. But if you look at Washington University School of Medicine, they've been drawing blood from COVID survivors for up to a year now. And they have found high levels of antibodies in people who have recovered from mild COVID cases. And so kudos to them for science. But you remember Fauci held up three fingers and said, well, if you recovered from COVID, you only have protection for 3 months. And I have said in interviews that maybe he pulled that out of thin air. Other people say that he pulled it out of somewhere else, but he had no randomized controlled trial to quote what he was saying. He said many things.
It's all anecdotal. It's all anecdotal. Science. He talks to us like he's a butcher. Doesn't even talk that. I mean, talks more intelligently. He's like, I wouldn't want my kids without a mask. You don't need a mask. It's all contradictory in that little gangster accent. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is everything he said that I've heard, I've never heard him say based on this randomized controlled trial, based on this science. All I've heard is don't wear a mask. It doesn't give the protection that you think it does. And then he says maybe we should wear a mask because it's a symbol we're in it together. And then he says wear a mask. And then he says maybe two masks. And then he says if you get the shot, you don't have to wear a mask. And then he says if you get the shot, you have to wear a mask. And he never offers scientific evidence. And so at some point you got to say, who's responsible for putting him in front of the microphone? And should he be there? I think bottom line is clearly people have durable lasting immunity, just as Senator Rand Paul, Dr. Rand Paul has made the case. And
that was my next question. Just as a citizen and as a doctor, don't even talk about what you can fix, getting people things that actually work. They're going to lie. They're going to cheat. They're with Big Pharma. It's a takeover. It's terrible. You're just going to counter with, hey, this really works, and that overall belief in the power of the people and good physicians and others to tell the truth. But what do you make of, we had a year and a half ago, Fauci in deep water in 2015 at North Carolina with scientists going, you're doing gain of function, with stuff that came out with the former head of Pfizer came out on Fox yesterday and said, listen, he made stuff far worse than that, which is the doomsday stuff that's much worse. And so to know he would tell Senator Paul and others, no, we never did any gain of function, when he held gain of function conferences and called for it, when in the emails dozens of times, about 900 pages of it, he says, I want gain of function, merge these five viruses, and then make sure it can jump into humans. I mean, it's literally the smoking gun of him admitting it and then saying, it's preposterous. You don't know the science. I've never been involved in gain of function. When he's saying merge viruses artificially, give them an HIV spike protein, and then make sure it jumps in humans. I mean, what? This guy's a villain. Look, we know why he's lying to us. I think he's like, I mean, we see these crazy doctors and Joseph Mengele types throughout history. There's a small percentage of psychos that want to become medical workers, we know, so they can carry out some behavior. And I'll just say it. I know you're not going to speculate, doctor, but all the evidence points towards he's a bad actor. He's a psychotic.
I can't argue with you. I would say that he's made some decisions that have been devastating to our people in the United States and around the world. Now we know that it was a bad idea to close schools a year ago because children could have been that buffer to the pandemic. They would have contributed to herd immunity because we had just as many children die last year in 2020 from COVID as have died from school bus related accidents. And so
to people herd immunity that don't understand it, because, I've seen another thing the Democrats and Fauci say is, oh, that doesn't exist. That's like saying the sky doesn't exist. Explain it to them.
So when you have enough people in the community that have been exposed to a virus like the H1N1 pandemic that we had in 2009, that was a deadly respiratory virus that was highly contagious, killing tens of thousands of Americans. But when you have enough of the population that's been exposed to that virus and has recovered and has immunity that is lasting, when that virus comes to them, they will not carry that virus. They will not spread that virus. That virus cannot make them sick again because of their natural immune system functioning. And so that's what causes herd immunity. And so we made it through a deadly pandemic in 2009 without one vaccine, without one mandated shot, without the risk of tens of thousands of people having complications from a vaccine without using an experimental gene therapy. And so how do we do that? Well, that was natural herd immunity. H1N1 pandemic, a deadly virus pandemic in the United States, and it was over quickly. And we did not close schools. We did not say that everyone has to wear a mask. We did not have lockdowns. We did not do all of the amazing things that they've come up with in the last year. And how did it work this year compared to 2009? So herd immunity is when you have enough of the population that has recovered and they are protected and they can't spread the virus. And so that is a real way out of the pandemic. We treat people that are sick with effective, proven, inexpensive strategies, and we educate the people with facts instead of propaganda, and we drop failed strategies. And if it didn't work the first time, well, who would say do it again? But that's what we're hearing. And then you need to deal with the problem that you brought up earlier. Senator Tom Cotton has been saying that this looks like it could be a bioweapon. That's germ warfare. That's what I've heard him basically saying for approximately a year. And he gets to hear intelligence that I don't get to hear. And then you have Senator Rand Paul showing evidence of gain of function testing and research to make a deadly virus in the Wuhan lab. And so I'm saying there's a lot of evidence here that we are dealing with germ warfare. There are people that are saying that. So I can tell you that this COVID that we're dealing with is a disease that we've never seen before in medicine. I've been practicing for 30 years, and we have never had a disease like this.
Well, sir, if you read the letters from Fauci, I'm sure you've seen them. I've been showing them there every day. It's him ordering them to combine all these, this bat and this animal and this animal, and then add a protein to it and make sure it can jump into humans. I mean, it says it right there. I mean, wow. Well, and then to claim evolutionary, all these things just did this. It's like saying a fine Swiss watch was just sand in the desert of, you know, the Sahara made it. I mean, we have them. So yeah, absolutely.
Well, I would say in general, the American people are not that gullible. That there is still common sense in the United States, and that the public is not as stupid as Fauci may think we are. And actually, we can say, wow, all the evidence sure looks like this is a different kind of disease than we've ever had before, and sure is suspicious that their only strategy that they'll offer is just a vaccine, and it sure is interesting that they're suppressing the reality that there are effective early outpatient treatment strategies from reputable sources that are verified by reputable sources.
It's almost like the Democrats in the deep state who are in with the Chinese.
It's interesting that the virus did come from China. The government of China was involved in it with the Wuhan lab. And that does look like that's the situation to me. I'm convinced of that personally. That's my opinion. And then you look at the solutions seem to be coming out of China. The masks are made in China. The PPEs are made in China. There seems to be the problem, and the solution seems to be coming from the same source. I don't think that China in itself is the whole problem. But this is the United States of America, where people should have patient rights. It's starting to look a lot more like a socialist state to me, where they're talking about possibly the latest thing I've heard is we're with the monoclonal antibody infusion center, and what I heard yesterday was that the federal government might be taking over the distribution of Regeneron. I hope not, and that they might actually start decreasing or rationing the Regeneron. I hope not. But rationing of healthcare is what you see in socialist countries. And it doesn't work very well. It's a disaster. Rationing of anything should not be a strategy.
Well, if you've got a solution to a problem that keeps them in power, they're not going to want that out there. And all I can say is, what a blessing Regeneron. I mean, I'm all for these companies who develop miracle stuff like this. I believe in medicine if it's applied properly and tested and all the rest of it. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's been around since 1988, the company, and they started with these, you know, two really smart scientists who went back to 1900 at the idea of creating a compound for each disease that would target the actual cause, silver bullets, what they called it. And then they've gone out and gotten a bunch of stuff patented for all sorts of things. And for their size per capita, they're the most profitable company out there, which is good. And they don't have liability protection like the vaccine makers, which I don't think they should have. And then the things we see really work and are great. So I want those type of things. My God, if I'm sick, I want, there's some deadly thing out there. I want it. But unfortunately, these vaccines, I mean, look at Israel, sir. And I know I want you to have the floor the 30 minutes we have left. I know you're really busy here this evening and you're giving us your time. But what do you make of all the graphs out of Israel, out of the UN, everywhere? India, the same numbers. Sweden, the same numbers. They're not vaccinating. They're doing all this other stuff. Almost nobody dying or sick. Israel, most vaccinated, the most sick. And it's repeated all over the place. The more vaccinated, the more sick. What do you make of these graphs, Dr. Bartlett?
Well, let's just use common sense like you always do, Alex. You know, if you have more people vaccinated, you should start seeing less of the disease if it works. And so in Israel, 85% vaccination rate, they're having the same problem, the same surge. And they're also starting to admit that the vaccine's effectiveness is waning. I think I heard a month ago that it was only 39% effective, according to Israel. I think you're going to see that drop to zero eventually because of the variants that are coming out. But you look at what's happening in Israel, and what I saw when I looked at it, my understanding is 4 out of 5 people in the hospital in Israel have been vaccinated now. And so is that evidence that the vaccine is working? Or look where we are, where I'd say we're about 41% vaccinated in West Texas. And I'd say about 41% of the people that come in the center that are sick, needing the infusion, have been vaccinated. I'd say it almost looks like maybe it's not a winning strategy. But independent of that, I also work in the emergency room as an emergency room doctor. And so I have seen people who have come in injured from the vaccine. And so they've come in, they got the vaccine at a pharmacy. They immediately had a reaction where they felt like they were going to pass out, go home, and they come into my emergency room with the worst headache they've ever had. They can't feel anything on the left side of their body. They can't move their left arm. And they only received the vaccine because the in-laws wouldn't visit if they didn't get the vaccine because of the propaganda.
Does the left arm, because I've heard people that have taken it say that, does that mean cardiac? Because when you have a heart attack, the left arm seizes up, or
no,
what does that mean?
I'm talking about stroke symptoms.
Yeah.
Stroke symptoms where they can't feel, they have sensory deficit and motor deficit on the same side. Or
is that the lipid getting the stuff across the blood-brain barrier as they admit happens?
So there's a lot of things that are going on that are not. I'm going to mention a few other things that I'm seeing. I saw a lady who, after the vaccine, several hours later, she's my patient in the emergency room. Her legs won't work when she tries to stand up. She has transverse myelitis. I saw a gentleman who's a hard worker, works as a landscaper, and he received the first shot, the first COVID shot. And he comes in to see me 2 weeks after that shot, and he's had 2 weeks of shortness of breath, and we have to wait until we put him on supplemental oxygen and he can catch his breath before he can tell us that he had gotten the shot and immediately felt short of breath. And we resuscitate him enough that he can go home, but I see him 5 months later in the emergency room, and he's a pulmonary cripple now. I've seen the college students that come in who are 18 years old and healthy with no health problems, and they come into as my patient in the emergency room, and they have 4 days where they can't think clearly. They feel like they're going to pass out. They're weak. They're lightheaded. And what happened 4 days ago? They received their COVID shot. And so these things I have seen. I have been the attending emergency room doctor for these specific complications. I've managed these myself. The vaccine has risk. And the fact that we're not giving informed consent and we're not telling patients in the messaging that's coming out on TV and radio, when they say roll up your sleeve, What kind of informed consent is that? They should be saying, here's the risk and here's the benefit. I've seen evidence of the risk. I've seen people harmed from the vaccine, and I've presented this testimony to the Texas Senate earlier this year. And there are other doctors who have done the same. But where's the benefit? If you look at Israel, and they're having 4 out of 5 people in the hospital during this surge of new cases have been vaccinated, well, I don't see the benefit. Or if I see that a lot of the people that are coming in the infusion center have been vaccinated, they didn't benefit from the shot. So I don't see a lot of benefit. I have seen the real risk. And at the same time, a year ago, I said, why are we even talking about vaccines? Because we have effective early outpatient therapies. We have a winning strategy. We have a way out of this pandemic. We still have a way out of this pandemic, but we need to deal with where did these come from, and are any other viruses going to come from a similar source, Alex? So think about that. Where did SARS-2 come from? Senator Tom Cotton, Senator Rand Paul, they've given us a lot of evidence to the whole world, to their credit. Those two men have dealt with, they have proven, they have presented evidence, and they have talked science. And these are men who have talked about solid, credible information, and they have presented it to the world. So I'm saying Delta variant, Lambda variant, Mu variant, are these really mutations? Because back in March of 2020, 3 months into this pandemic, Iceland studied the genome of every SARS virus out of their COVID patients in Iceland, and they had found 243 mutations 3 months into this pandemic. Now we have no doubt thousands, probably tens of thousands of mutations. So is Delta variant just a mutation? Or where did SARS-2 come from? And where are these new things coming from? And so that is really...
Let's just go there. Clearly, that's how you do a bioweapon rollout. And we had a very chilling statement a few days ago when Biden made his big declaration of medical tyranny and federal authoritarianism. And even mainline lawyers are saying it's the most dictatorial thing since Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln actually had a war going on inside the country, whatever side people choose there. I think the whole thing was a disaster. But this is Biden... talking about, a new pandemic's coming. Don't you worry. Here it is.
The key parts of my pandemic preparedness plan so that America isn't caught flat-footed with a new pandemic comes again, as it will.
Yeah, as it will. And Fauci saying, don't worry, Trump's going to get hit by a big pandemic very soon. It will happen. So, go where you're going now in more detail of what you're really saying here about how the Democrats are simpatico with the Chi-Coms, this AIDS, their takeover, all over the world. We see governments declaring New World Order, saying we're going to lock you in your house forever. You can't leave unless you take the shots. The shots don't work. More shots, the studies show, lower your immunity. Doc, you're a smart guy, and you're all about the science, and I know you're only saying things that are documented or leading people to do their own research. But this is a citizen, as a patriot. What do you really think's going on here? Because obviously this is a corporate takeover. Obviously they're suppressing treatments that really help people. I mean, this is really bad stuff. What do you really think's happening?
Alex, after 9/11, as an emergency room doctor, I was trained in how to take care of people in the emergency room if there was a nuclear war, if there was chemical warfare, if there was bioweapons used. And so that was continuing education that I received after 9/11. And we know that germ warfare, bioweapons have been used in recent times. And when? Well, I think you and I know, teenagers may not be aware of anthrax when that was mailed to people in Congress. That's a bioweapon. There's been sarin used. There have been other bioweapons used. But bioweapons created and discussed so publicly, like at the Wuhan lab, I think this is amazing that the obvious isn't being stated, that we are having, I think, let's look at another clue. Why is Fauci not calling this the Delta mutant, the mutation? Because that would be really hard for doctors to swallow and really hard for scientists to swallow, because there's been so many mutations already of this virus. To call it a variant, well, where did that SARS-2 variant come from? I think that Tom Cotton is correct. I think that Rand Paul is correct, and that they're both very brave to inform the world from the Senate floor of evidence that they have. And so I think we do need, this is where governments and military are involved, where we have, I think there's strong evidence that this is a bioweapon. And fortunately, again, the good news is we're not helpless or hopeless at this point. We do have effective treatment strategies, and they've been employed around the world. The
and I want to talk about this, doctor, but just to stop, because you're really a smart guy on this, I want to pick your brain. Clearly, they developed a bunch of variants. Again, even the former head of Pfizer was on Fox News. I meant to play the clip on Friday. I did. Maybe after you're gone, we'll play it, because I don't want to take up your time with that. But again, the former head of Pfizer said, look, Fauci made far worse things at labs at Wuhan. So it looks like there's part of the American establishment that's not suicidal and wants this to stop, because that's what a lot of smart people I've talked to, and former U.S. intelligence, high level, highest level. I know you've talked to some people that headed up U.S. intelligence agencies. We'll leave it at that. That know that's what this is. But we have to go to war with China if they did that. And we know part of our establishment was in bed doing this as well. But I think finally people that are patriots get China's going to win this war, and the globalists are going to win it with them, and we don't start stopping these people. So you're right. I see Rand Paul saying arrest Fauci. I see Cotton saying it. I see others saying it. And so I think we're moving in the right direction. But Americans better be praying, and they better understand how much danger we're all in. And we need to all have courage to tell the truth, because we're at a crossroads right now. That's what I think you're saying, doctor.
That's exactly what I'm saying, and I couldn't have said it better. People need to pray. This is still one nation under God, and this is an exceptional nation, and it is the best country in the world. I've led medical missions around the world to many countries, helping people in desperate situations, and now we're in a desperate situation around the world, including in our own homeland. And so, yes, it needs to start with prayer. I think everyone needs to, first of all, be informed. They cannot be passive. They cannot be just absorbing whatever comes through the mainstream media. I think at this point it's been proven to be in many times totally erroneous. And if you – there was a – you alluded to it earlier there was a government that set a doctor as their number one spokesman for healthcare, and whatever he said went, and nobody questioned it or they'd be punished. And his name was Joseph Mengele. And so has that happened before? It has happened before. People need to be careful what they listen to, because if you keep listening to the same thing over and over, you might start believing it. So you need, if someone has been proven to be a source of wrong information, then erroneous information over and over again, you need to, if you hear his voice, turn it off. Don't listen to that. And look, seek out real information. And where you are, do what you can with what you got. I say roll up your sleeves to help your fellow American. Roll up your sleeves to help your fellow American. And let's go with a winning strategy of early effective outpatient treatment. But even when someone's in the hospital, it's not hopeless, Alex. We're hearing reports of people who have been in the ICU who have been given budesonide nebulizer treatments, and they've been rescued off of ventilators, out of the ICU, and brought home. And so I have reports of that from California to Florida to Georgia to Texas to Indiana. And so the truth is spreading. We do have effective treatments, effective therapies, and these should not be ignored. They've been suppressed. I've been censored on every level.
Well, that was my next question. We need listeners to know, and I mean, have it really sink in. It's not just background noise. Please share the links. Please share this video. I don't care about money or being famous or any of that. Okay, I got into this to fight gun control and open borders and globalism 28 years ago. You know, the doctor got into it because he's fulfilled helping people because we got our heads screwed on, you know, partially straight. And we're all sinners. None of us are perfect. But these evil people have no guidance. They just do whatever they want. It's all about their own personal power. I need listeners to know, watching this on Saturday when it streams out, when it's archived at Man.Video, this is life and death. And you don't know, like ripples in a pond when you throw a pebble in, who you're going to affect. Share his websites like lives depend on it, because it does, because Big Pharma and Big Tech are trying to suppress it. Budesonideworks.com, SynergyHealthDPC.com, because when doctors finally listen and do it and they see the 180s that happened with people, they're having a come to Jesus moment. And I wanted to ask you this, doctor. I mean, we know, my dad's a retired oral surgeon and dentist, and he knew some stuff because he owned part of a hospital and medical management when I was growing up in Dallas. And I remember he just said, listen, most hospitals are great people, and most people are good, because there's a small percentage of doctors that are crazy and nurses that are crazy. I said, why? And he said, well, you know, I was one of those whiz kids, top of my class when I was 15. I was in the Plan 2 UT program, you know, where you go to college when you're in high school. And from East Texas, they sent him to MD Anderson for the summer in the cancer research wards, doing experimental stuff. He saw that. He said, most of the doctors were really nice, but some of them, you know, a few of them were crazy and like killing people. And he would describe them shooting people up with like plutonium and stuff. And then he said, I knew a few doctors that were crazy at some Dallas hospitals. And if somebody came in, they still had good brain waves. They'd go ahead and just not give them treatment. They were making money on the organs. And I thought, my dad's full of it when I'm 16, you know, and he's telling me this. Then years later on 60 Minutes, it happened in Dallas. It came out. They were basically letting people die. You think, gosh, how could they do that? Well, my dad would never lie to me. He was a great guy. But I thought that was crazy. But later I'm sitting there watching 60 Minutes and it came out about Dallas and Chicago killing people for their organs. Only a few hospitals. Austin, you know, doing some things too. And so you look at this and you look at people like Fauci to get in the research area and go up because they're ruthless and Big Pharma can put them in to do this type of thing. And then you hear about nurses, you know, that kill 20 babies in San Antonio because they like to kill babies. And it's just, you know, what percentage would you say of those psychos are out there? What do they gravitate to? Because I noticed at certain hospitals that had almost all the COVID deaths in all the major states, it like you'd have hundreds of times or thousands of percent at this hospital or that, but then almost none at another that saw all these patients. So what is that culture? Have you seen things like that? What do you call the Mengele effect? Because we all know about mad scientists, mad doctors. Most are really great. But then we also hear, they know, like a lot of us, when a building burns down or they find a pipe bomb, the FBI criminologist will investigate, was it somebody on the bomb squad or was it a firefighter? Because it turns out about a third of the time, most firefighters are great. Most bomb squad people are great, but sometimes they get bored and they plant a bomb themselves. So, you know, it's like most truancy officers are great people, but statistically they're the highest rate of pedophiles because that's where one wants to go to be able to do that. So they want that authority. Still, these are good professions, but you find that sliver of evil hiding, you know, as an angel there. What are your, like the military, most people want to help people. They have a warrior thing. They want to strive. They want to prove themselves. They want to fight evil. But there's that certain group that really wants to just torture people. That happens in any culture. So how do we deal with that? And how do we come to grips with doctors could be the best people, nurses could be the best people and are, or they have that dark shadow that's there as well. How do we deal with that?
I'm going to tell you some of the worst people I know, and you didn't have to prep me for this, Alex. Some of the worst people I know are doctors. And if a doctor has seen a treatment work and they suppress that and they will not offer that to other patients, I can't think of anything more evil, because people have entrusted them with their lives, with their loved ones' lives, and they are the authority figure, and that abuse of that position, I think, is unforgivable. And so I have seen that. I know that exists, that's happening now. And then I also know that the masses of doctors, nurses, physician assistants, nurse practitioners, therapists, have the right spirit. They have the right heart. They got into it because they wanted to help people. But it does seem during a time of war, and I believe we're at a time of war where there's cyber warfare happening. If this is a bioweapon, we call that germ warfare. And definitely we've had embargoes and other things going on that are battling with other countries, economic wars. I think during times of war, you see heroes appear and you see villains appear. The worst, what's in them already comes out. And so I have seen some doctors do what I have no explanation other than it's just pure evil. At this point, it's not ignorance at this point. If you know something and you refuse to do the right thing when you're the one that could save a life, then that's unforgivable. And there is a normalcy bias. When I was younger, I could not imagine that this was so. But at this point, I know that it's so because I've seen it with my own eyes, Alex.
Well, absolutely. My dad also watched in the 80s. I remember him talking about it at the dinner table. Fauci famously blocked a bunch of HIV drugs that worked and then put forward bad ones. I mean, he's definitely a Mengele type, I think.
Well, I think we have many dangerous people that are called doctors right now. And there are many brilliant doctors that are selfless, that are not looking for the limelight, that are not in this for the money. They want to help other people. And I think of Ben Marble in Florida and Zelenko and in New York that have both been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, and rightfully so. I think of Dr. McCullough in Dallas and I'll tell you, Stella Emanuel down in Houston is a hero. And we have many doctors that are rising to the cream always rises to the top. And we have.
Well, that's what I was about to say. It's good doctors and others that are rising to battle the evil elements of big pharma and the system. It's really a very empowering time, even though it's very dark. Like you said, it's a war. And so we're seeing who people are. But look at Fauci's eyes. I mean, I've known a lot of people I've been around, not just his actions. I would not be around someone that looks like that. He looks like a total power-tripping lunatic. Jack Kevorkian had that same crazy look, and he would paint pictures of demons eating babies. Folks, I'm not kidding. I saw him on PBS with, like, babies coming out of women's wombs with demons eating them. Of course he wanted to kill healthy people. I mean, you can just see. He can't even hide how bad he is.
Well, I'll tell you, there. On the flip side, yeah, Alex, I can't disagree with you. On the other side, I will say that we have some of the best nurses and therapists and doctors in the world here in the United States. And so there is.
Oh, I remember when my dad, when I was growing up, my mom would get really tired, like 3 or 4 days a week, because he was a doctor, oral surgeon, would answer the phone, especially when it was his patients were in a car wreck with a smashed face to go wire their jaws or whatever, and then go work 12 hours at the office. I mean, I watched my dad do that. I know about Rand Paul's dad would famously go work 3 days a week for free, basically, except for like $3 they had to pay you, you know, at the Houston Hospital. That's because I remember being a dental assistant for a few years in college and like loving to like watch him drill the tooth and fix it and clean. It felt good to help clean people's teeth and help fix broken teeth. It felt good to like, I mean, I didn't like pus coming out of teeth. I didn't like watching blood, but it just felt good we were helping him. And then so I understand that same thing of like wanting to help people. It's a human instinct. It's very rewarding. It's addicting versus these people that love to do evil. You said you do an hour. I know you got to go. It's your weekend. You work 15, 20 hours a day. I know, sir. So just 5 minutes, you've got the floor. I've been asking a lot of questions. Just recap and any other key points you'd like to add, Dr. Bartlett. And thanks for helping save my dad, because I know he looked like he was dead when I walked in there. And 24 hours later, less than 24 hours later, he was like 90% better. So thank you, sir. And so just closing 5-6 minutes, you've got the floor.
Well, I appreciate that. And I will say, talking about your dad, I'm going to say that I had a similar upraising as you. I would tag along with my dad to the emergency room when I was in high school and college, and he was a plastic and reconstructive surgeon. He did hand surgery. And so he is a real hero and a real role model for me. And so I would see him work long hours. There was many baseball games and many things that he missed because he was helping other people. And I know where he was now that I'm an adult, and I appreciate his role model for me. We're in the middle of a crisis like we've never had before. This is a disease we've never seen before, but we have some effective treatment strategies. There are therapies that work. Budesonide has been proven to be an effective tool against COVID early and late, because late in COVID they have ARDS, acute respiratory distress syndrome, and there are studies at the NIH database that confirm that using nebulized budesonide for ARDS will shut down the release of the cytokines, those inflammatory chemicals that cause all of the death and destruction. It also decreases the edema, the swelling in the lung tissue. It decreases the it stops the scarring in the lung tissue, and it improves the blood oxygenation. All four of those are very good. And so budesonide nebulized will help with early disease. It'll also help with late disease, proven in randomized controlled trials. This is science. Also, aspirin makes sense because, as I said, they're seeing venothromboemboli, pulmonary emboli, or heart attacks or strokes as a result of the thromboxane, one of the cytokines released from the lung lining. And so if you can use a medicine that will shut down the release of thromboxane and the other cytokines, that makes sense, and that's budesonide. Also, the antibiotic I use, clarithromycin, 86% coverage of strep pneumonia, as opposed to azithromycin, a Z-Pak, that has 78% coverage of strep pneumonia, the bacteria that's encapsulated that causes bacterial pneumonia. That's why I use that antibiotic. But we also have Regeneron, monoclonal antibodies that decrease the risk of hospitalization or death from COVID by 70% with a 30-minute infusion. And so we have many tools, and they should all be employed. If someone has COVID, they should not try to tough it out at home. This is a dangerous, as far as I'm concerned, my perspective, it's a bioweapon, and that we are in germ warfare. Just like we've had cyber war, which has been talked about for several years now, and we've talked about, and it's been public knowledge that there have been enemy states that have been trying to hack our power grid and other things. We know that this is going on. Why is this such a surprise? Probably because of normalcy bias, but people need to educate themselves and prepare themselves to help themselves and their neighbors. Roll up your sleeves for the right reason, to do what you can where you are. Local action can affect the nation in a positive way. And so do what you can. Educate yourself. There's a lot of information, hours of information at budesonideworks.com, a third-party site. It's not mine. And also there is a providers tab where you can find providers that will use effective early outpatient therapies there in many states. And also that Synergy Health DPC is not mine. It's not owned or operated by me. It's a telemedicine service that is using my protocol and is saving lives. And so I want to equip people. I'm trying to help people any way I can. That's why we're doing this interview right now. And Alex, I appreciate your being such a gracious host. I appreciate the information that you've put out for years that has been spot on. And at times, so because you were ahead of the curve, people might have mocked you, but hey, who's mocking you now that all these things have been proven? And so thank you for the time. We're not helpless. We're not hopeless. Our hope is in God. This is one nation under God. Jesus did pay the price for us, for all our needs to be met. He does answer prayer. The strategy that I got a year ago was the result of a prayer. Praying for patients when I was in the emergency room. God, what will I do if someone comes in here and they're dying of COVID and they tell me I can't breathe? And during that 48-hour shift in the emergency room, I had a moment where I could go take a cat nap in the call room. And this was an answer to prayer during that dream when I was waking up. And so who would have thought that God would answer a prayer with something that's so practical, so relevant to our life right now, that was proven later to be validated by Oxford University as 90% effective?
So, so budesonide just came to your mind?
No, yes, immediately I had all of this. It was like a download all at once as I was waking up. I knew what to do. I knew why to do it. And I had no one to tell because I was the only one in the call room. And 5 days later, I had my first patients, Alex, with COVID. And it worked. And they should have died according to everything that was in the news. And we were seeing that everybody was dying if they were overweight, if they had diabetes, if they had asthma. And these patients had both, had all of that, and they lived. And then I saw, had a patient who had two forms of lymphoma on chemotherapy, had radiation a month before, and again, the strategy worked quickly. And then I had another fellow who had stage four prostate cancer, and he's on chemo, and he beat COVID with this protocol, but 8 months later succumbed to the cancer. And so I have seen overwhelming evidence that this, that we have effective, outpatient, inexpensive strategies that will help save lives. And I want everyone to have access to that. And that's why I have dropped everything for the last 3 weeks to totally be immersed with COVID patients in a Regeneron monoclonal antibody infusion center in West Texas, where I am on purpose going into a building for 11-hour days to solely be around people who are infectious with COVID so I can help save their life. And there are other heroes that are on the team with me, and I'm honored to work with them. And I appreciate Governor DeSantis making this an issue in the first place. Thank you, Governor DeSantis. I'd love to meet you someday. Thank you, Rand Paul. I'd love to meet you someday and shake your hand. We have some real heroes that have pushed this strategy.
And Governor Abbott's gotten a lot better than where he was a year ago.
And I got to say kudos to Governor Abbott for pushing this forward with the Texas Division of Emergency Management. So this is kudos to Governor Abbott. He's doing the right thing right now, and I appreciate what you're doing, Governor.
And let me just get this in before we go, because you are a hero. I know you don't want that. It's your instinct. It's your spirit. You're doing it. And I've seen this, you know, my dad and other great physicians, and that's what great doctors are. So people really respect doctors, and evil corporations and sinister political groups try to steal your identity and then say they're the doctor with Fauci up there. But I know that I gave your number out, and hundreds of people called you, and then you put them in contact with people and stuff. And I know that they gave it out till it became an insane thing. I knew that with everybody else. I know you were working. I mean, I would, like, call you at midnight, and you'd call back. So we really appreciate you, and we love what you've done. And I know my dad looked like he was dead. He was down to, like, 83% oxygen. We got the thing, got him, got the doctors you recommended, got it all to him within 5-6 hours. The next morning, come over there. He's putting together stuff that had come to the house. Again, those deck chairs. Just amazing, and I saw that, and I've seen what's happened, and it's just an amazing thing. So thank you so much for spending time with us. You never put out a website. You're just recommending people that are helping folks. How do people, because, you know, these interviews are important as well, how do people get in touch with you via email? Because I know a lot of folks will watch this. If other talk shows or other stuff want to get you on, because I know that's another way to warn people. I don't give you more work to do, but how do people get in touch with you? Do you have a website, or are you going to write a book or something?
I've written a couple books about what I've seen in other countries on medical mission trips, but I'm a messenger, and Alex, let them contact you. I trust you, and you got my number, and if they're following you, then let them contact you, because you've been bringing useful information for decades now, and I have great respect for you.
Well, we appreciate you, Doctor. Thanks for saving my dad and so many others. Dr. Richard Bartlett, he recommends Budesonineworks.com and SynergyHealthDPC.com for folks. And I'm not going to tell people what to do. I'm not a doctor, but I think it's important if this place gives it out or if they can. I mean, is it okay to pre-stockpile these? These aren't like controlled things at a high level, are they? Or do you wait till you get the first symptoms? Or, I mean, I know they'll get at you for this, but is there 30 seconds or a minute on this? Is there anything we should do preemptively? What, vitamin D, zinc, C? Just 60 seconds on that, Doc. What would you do preemptively to try to dodge a bullet on this?
So there are several things that I think are winning strategies, and we have some of that print at budesonideworks.com. It talks about prevention. We talk about science. A university over in the UK showed that mouthwash for 30 seconds kills the virus that's trying to multiply. The virus comes in through the nose and throat and eyes. We've known that from the beginning. And so it's trying to multiply in the upper respiratory tract, from the throat to the mouth to the nose, the nasopharynx, for the first 3 to 5 days. So if you use mouthwash, that's a good strategy. I want to mention one more tool that we didn't talk about. There is a company that has a website called H2Bev.com, H2BEV, short for beverage.com. They have a product called HydroShot, which will release, which has evidence that it will increase nitric oxide in your bloodstream for 10 hours. And what that does is it will help with oxygenation. It helps remove the brain fog. It helps with energy. And this is a game changer as well for helping people recover from COVID, people that might have long hauler syndrome after they've recovered. This is a very safe and effective tool that I have found. It's over the counter. You can only order it from h2bev.com. They have another product called Silver Bullet that has zinc and EGCGs from green tea, and it's hydrogen infused drink. And that will, that's a preventive measure. We've talked about quercetin with zinc. We've talked about hydroxychloroquine with zinc. Well, this is EGCGs, totally safe to drink EGCGs from green tea, and that is a iota-4 that will also get zinc into cells. I got to give credit to Dr. Zelenko for making me aware of all of those.
He's a great guy. He was on Friday. All right, Dr. Richard Bartlett, get some well. I deserve rest here on this weekend evening. Thank you so much. And again, God bless you.